Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Wednesday, June 19th, violent unrest in the West African Sahel region claims dozens more lives. A Vatican event highlights the positive contributions of migrants to host countries on the eve of World Refugee Day, and Pope Francis says the Holy Spirit that descended on Pentecost still dwells in Jesus' disciples. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins. In Mali, at least 38 people have been killed in the latest of a series of attacks on villages near the border with Burkina Faso. Authorities said the violence took place on Monday in the ethnic Dogon villages of Gangafani and Yoro. An official of the Pontifical Charity Aid to the Church in Need has warned that a combination of disputes in the region has created a combustible situation. Linda Bordoni has the details.
Speaking on condition of anonymity, a Malian security official said the attackers were from an ethnic Fulani militia accused of operating alongside groups of Muslim extremists in central Mali. While conflicts have simmered between the more settled Dogon people and the Fulani herders in central Mali for a long time, they have become increasingly violent since a militant Islamic uprising in the north of the country in 2012, which has spread, bringing more instability, weapons and lack of government control. Triggering the latest series of attacks, tensions between the Dogon ethnic group and the Fulanis escalated after a massacre in March on a Fulani village that left nearly 160 people dead. Witnesses said the attackers were wearing traditional Dogon hunters' clothing. In what appeared to be a retaliatory attack earlier this month on a Dogon village, at least 35 people were killed, many of them children. The Dogon people, who largely practice settled agriculture, have lived in the Bandiagara escarpment in central Mali for centuries. The Fulani, on the other hand, known in Mali as the Pearl, are a largely Muslim ethnic group of semi-nomadic herders. Numbering at least 38 million, they are spread across West Africa, from Senegal in the west to the Central African Republic. Competition over resources has historically led to tension and at times violence between the groups, but until recently it was frequently resolved by negotiation. In Nigeria, there's been a similar cycle of violence between Fulanis and settled farmers, which in 2014 was described as the fourth most deadly conflict in the world. I'm Linda Bordoni.
As Linda just said, in Nigeria, police have liberated a Catholic priest who was abducted after Mass on Sunday. As Sister Carmelan Coutinho reports, the kidnapping is also linked to Fulani herdsmen.
Father Isaac Agubi was returning home on Sunday after celebrating Mass when bandits kidnapped him and disappeared into the bush with his car. The incident took place in Nigeria's southern Edo state, where Father Agubi serves as parish priest at the Holy Name Catholic Church in Ikpeshi. Local hunters helped lead police forces to the kidnappers' forest hideout on Tuesday. One of the bandits was injured in an exchange of gunfire with police and was arrested. The abductors abandoned Father Agubi as they fled the scene. Fide's news agency and local media tie the group to nomadic Fulani herdsmen. The Fulani, 90% of whom are Muslim, have been implicated in worsening violence elsewhere in the West African Sahel region. Separately, in northern Nigeria, at least 150 people have been killed over the past week and 9 others kidnapped. 25 people were killed in Sokoto State on Saturday in raids apparently carried out by other Fulani groups. Herders in Ondo State also kidnapped a woman and a stepson who were on their way to Mass. Archbishop Augustine Akubeze of Benin City has decried the unprecedented level of insecurity. Nigeria's bishops say impunity has allowed terrorist groups to spread chaos and destruction throughout the region. I'm Sister Kamalan.
Elsewhere, Sudan's military council is urging protest leaders to resume negotiations on the transition of power. General Abdel Fattah Burhan said today that the council has no preconditions for returning to the negotiating table. Talks between the military and protesters were suspended earlier this month after security forces broke up a protest sit-in, killing over 100 people. The international team investigating the downing of Malaysia Airlines flight MH17 has charged three Russians and a Ukrainian separatist with the murder of 298 people on board the plane. The aircraft was shot down over eastern Ukraine in 2014. Christopher Wells has the latest.
Four men have been charged with murder in connection with the downing of Malaysia Airlines flight MH17. The flight was shot down over eastern Ukraine in 2014, killing all 298 people aboard. The subsequent investigation was led by the Dutch Safety Board, as a majority of the victims were from the Netherlands. The DSB determined that the plane was struck by a Russian-made Buk anti-aircraft missile, fired from territory held by Russian-backed Ukrainian rebels. On Wednesday, a separate Dutch-led international joint investigation team said they have collected enough evidence to show that Russia provided the missile launcher used to shoot down the aircraft. Investigators accused Russians Igor Girkin, Sergei Dubinsky, and Oleg Pulatov, and Ukrainian Leonid Karchenko of involvement in the attack. Dutch National Police Chief Wilbert Paulussen said all four have been charged with murder, adding that their trial was scheduled to begin next March. Lead prosecutor Fred Westerbeek said international arrest warrants have been issued for the suspects. He said the investigative team will not ask Russia and Ukraine to extradite the subjects, as the constitutions of both countries prohibit extradition. But he said he would ask Russia to hand the summons to the suspects who are in the Russian Federation, and would also ask Russia to arrange for the suspects to be interviewed about the charges. Speaking by phone with the Associated Press news agency, one of the suspects, Igor Girkin, who was a military chief of the rebels in the area at the time of the disaster, denied that separatists shot down the plane. Another rebel leader, Alexander Borodai, also a Russian national, has also denied the rebels were responsible. I'm Christopher Wells.
In other news, nearly 71 million people around the world have been forced from their homes by war and persecution. A report released today by the UN's Refugee Agency detailed the figures, which show that more than 2 million people were displaced during 2018. The UNHCR's Global Trends report comes ahead of the annual occurrence of World Refugee Day on Thursday. To mark the day, Vatican Radio hosted an event entitled Migrants and Refugees, Contributions and Present Challenges. The meeting brought together diplomats as well as religious communities and NGOs working in the field of migration. One of those participating at the gathering was Director of Advocacy at Caritas Internationalis, Dr. Martina Liebsch. She is responsible for their campaign Share the Journey, which puts the spotlight firmly on the issue of migration. Dr. Liebsch spoke to Lydia O'Kane about the response it has received and about the work still to be done.
Generally, through, of course, our National Caritas members, there has been an openness to do these actions. As I said, we started with the opening arms, then we had the share the meal action. Now we have this walk, and we want to reach 1 million kilometers walking all together, and the next action will be this mosaic, which we will share with our members and where they can do actions around the world or in their communities talking about migrants. I think to take one example, it was amazing that in a country which I think is quite polarized on that theme, like in the US, there was a very good response. It was a good investment by the local Caritas organizations, because there are two. But also, there was a good response. And in fact, for this example which I mentioned between this American lady and the Syrian refugee, that happened in that context, where she listened to his story and then said to me, "I've always looked at migration through statistics, and I saw the figures and I was afraid, and so such big figures. Now I have listened to a story and I have a completely other, how to say, understanding, or a changed understanding, and I can see what is behind." So, I mean, it's probably too early to tell what, because this, the impact, you will need to measure the impact at a certain moment when the campaign ends, which will be at the end of the year. But I don't think it has been difficult. So where actions happen, people have participated and reacted.
That was Dr. Martina Liebs, the director of advocacy at Caritas Internationalis, speaking there to Lydia O'Kane. Briefly, news from around the world. An independent UN report on into the killing of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi said today that there is credible evidence to warrant further investigation into the possible role of the Saudi crown prince Mohammed bin Salman. The probe suggested sanctions on the prince's personal assets. The 33-year-old Saudi crown prince denies any involvement in the killing, and the kingdom has blamed rogue Saudi agents for carrying out the operation. Pope Francis today continued his catechesis on the Acts of the Apostles at the weekly general audience. Reflecting on the day of Pentecost, the Pope said the Holy Spirit that descended upon the disciples is the same Spirit that dwells in us. Sean Patrick Lovett has the story.
The Pope described the apostles gathered around Mary in the upper room as being in prayer. Prayer is the lung, said the Pope, that gives breath to disciples of all times. Without prayer, one cannot be a disciple of Jesus. The descent of the Holy Spirit, he said, was an event that exceeded their expectations.
Di un vento che ricorda la ruaha, il soffio primordiale.
They were surprised by the force of a wind that reminds us of the primordial breath. To the wind is then added the fire, continued Pope Francis. The fire reminds us of the burning bush, because in the biblical tradition, fire accompanies the manifestation of God.
Nel fuoco Dio consegna la sua parola viva.
In the fire, God delivers his living word, said the Pope, and the fire itself expresses God's work of warming, illuminating, and testing hearts. On Mount Sinai, we hear the voice of God. In Jerusalem, on the Feast of Pentecost, it's the voice of Peter. Despite his own weakness, once filled with the fire of the Spirit, Peter's words acquire strength, capable of piercing hearts.
La Chiesa nasce quindi dal fuoco dell'amore.
The Church is born of the fire of love, continued the Pope, a fire that breaks out at Pentecost and manifests the power of the Word of the Risen One imbued with the Holy Spirit. Pope Francis went on to describe the Holy Spirit as the creator of communion, the artist of reconciliation, who knows how to remove barriers between Jews and Greeks, slaves and freedmen.
Fa crescere la Chiesa, aiutandola a andare al di là dei limiti umani.
The Holy Spirit makes the Church grow by helping it to go beyond human limitations, sins and scandals, said the Pope. Only the Spirit of God has the power to humanize and to create connections, beginning with those who receive him. I'm Sean Patrick Lovett.
That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, be sure to check out our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. You can also catch the latest updates on our Facebook page or on Twitter. Many thanks go to our studio team. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins.